Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perreault. We are so very pleased to be joined today in the studio by Pat Evans, a local Parkinson's advocate. Pat, welcome back to Lake 88.
Thank you very much, Bob.
It is good to have you here. We've had you here in the past to deal with the Super Walk, and we'll talk about that a little bit in the future. But we're talking about a couple of other things here today. One of them, the main one, I guess, would be that Parkinson's Awareness Month is coming up in April. It's right around the corner.
That's correct. April 1st.
Absolutely. So tell us, why is it important to designate a month? We should know the answer to this by now, but why is it important to designate a month to Parkinson's?
Well, I guess every disease would say it was the same thing. But for Parkinson's, it's a disease that people often don't want to talk about. And they see it as an old person's disease, so maybe it's something that comes with age no matter what. But they're very wrong. And the thing is that if we talk about Parkinson's, then we can increase awareness, then we can provide the services at an early time in a person's progress of the disease, then you can really live better with Parkinson's and outlive the diagnosis.
Absolutely. And I think also, too, when you're raising awareness like this, it's not only about raising awareness to the public and people who may not know about it, but it's to extended family members. It's to friends who may know, okay, well, yes, you have Parkinson's, but they don't know as much about it. And it gives an opportunity to get them sort of rallied on your side.
And this year, and the reason I wanted to talk about it again was because we realize it's the fastest growing neurological disease in the world, and Canada is leading the way. It's even higher than the States, many think. And they've just done a study last December that revealed that it's actually higher than that. They used to think it would double by 2031, but it's actually 50% higher than they ever believed. And Ontario participated in that large study and was one of the highest amongst all the American data that was available. Hmm. And Lanark North Lees has a high percentage of seniors. And what they know for sure is that the percentage goes up with age. So 65 and over, it's higher than under 50, for example. So that, because Lanark North Lees has a huge number of seniors, percentage-wise, the largest number in Ontario, then it's obviously out there. But the problem is I don't see it. I don't see the diagnosis the way it's supposed to happen. And that's why awareness is important. The other reason for making sure that people know about it and getting relevant data is because then the services can match what the need is. And because healthcare is under such an incredible strain, and because we're looking at creative ways to actually provide service, we need to be able to match the number of people that have it with the services and get the most effective and cost-effective and efficient way of providing the service. It's not working right now.
No, and there's a lot to unpack in there. First off, when you talk about the increase in cases in Canada and you mentioned the aging population, I mean, there's a direct correlation there.
There is, but there's also something we don't understand. It's more than the aging population. It's more than the percentage for that. A lot. Some people think it's pesticides, pollution. A lot of it is connected to water wells, wells and farming. So and chemicals. So that it's more than the aging population isn't the only reason for it. And people under 40 get it. I mean, I got it when I was 54. I wasn't 65 plus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people under 40 get it even. People 27 and 28 get it. It's not a high percentage, but they do get it.
Yeah.
So it's a complicated thing to unpack. But the point is we need to keep talking about it because we even know information now that we didn't even know when 5 years ago, or God only knows when I was diagnosed 16 years ago. There's so much more that we know about. And we know about a lot of biomarkers now, too. So REM sleep disorder we know is connected. Small handwriting has always been connected. Loss of smell is connected. And many, many other biomarkers. So we can actually look at all those biomarkers and say, that person stands a very good chance of developing motor symptoms. What can we do now to prevent that from happening?
If all this information is out there, then why isn't it discussed more? Like I'm seeing some parallels to mental health, for example, mm-hmm. and you look back mm-hmm. 10 years ago, mm-hmm. how people just didn't really talk about it that
That's
much.
That's right.
And now there's everybody's talking about it in one way or another.
That's right.
It's certainly not where it should be, but it's made some giant strides. Why can't mm-hmm. Parkinson's do the same?
Well, you have to ask you that. I'm
okay.
not sure. I don't know. I mean, I think maybe there's the feeling that you're going to get old. These things happen when you get old. But, you know, quality of life is important. And also the costs of $1.2 billion are spent on people with Parkinson's in Canada. In the States, it's $52 billion.
Mm.
We're talking about a lot of money that is being spent to deal with people that maybe shouldn't have to be spent. Because if you can catch it early and you can give people the support they need, they might never get to the point where they end up breaking their hip in the hospital, or they might not develop the dementia and have to sit in Perth or Smiths Falls Hospital for 6 months waiting to get into a nursing home, which has been my experience this year.
You were diagnosed at you said, age 54?
I was 54.
What kind of a difference do you think that's made in the progression for you?
Well, I think it was pretty obvious for me. Sometimes it's very hard to diagnose. For me, I had I didn't have a tremor one day, and I had a tremor the next day. So, I kind of wondered what that was about. I think the way I've dealt with it maybe have something to do with how I've done, too. I mean, I went back to work, and I said, guess what? I have Parkinson's. And not many people can do that. I mean, they worry about losing their jobs. They worry about people making decisions about that they can't do their job anymore or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I have always been a person I've had a very high level of denial. Not that I don't have it, but that it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
And it is a progressive disease, and it is getting worse. But I still I want to do the thing. I still try to do everything I can, diet, exercise, and all the thing, an attitude, positive attitude, you know, to actually deny that I have it. You know, I don't deny that I have it, but
yeah.
I kind of don't accept that there's nothing I can do, because I think people can live well with Parkinson's. Most people can.
And I think you're living proof of that. I mean, we've been having these conversations for about 5 years now, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And the only difference I really see in you is aging gracefully, you know, like in the past 5 years. You know, so obviously what you're talking about works. You're obviously a fighter. And really, that is very important when you look at strength in numbers, you know,
and
speaking to other people who are going through it, you being a living example. And I'm sure that you have other living examples that have inspired you.
I do. And the thing is, I know that there are things can make it better. Multidisciplinary care. Okay. So we have long waiting lists for diagnosis in Kingston and Ottawa. We don't need to have a long waiting list, because other people trained in Parkinson's can diagnose. It doesn't have to be a neurologist, I believe. So in the hub, this hub that's being hopefully established in Smiths Falls, this health hub, I think it just is the perfect place to superimpose a brain health multidisciplinary clinic. It doesn't have to just be Parkinson's. It could also be dementia and all, you know, other forms of neurological problems. But Parkinson's would probably take the most of that service. And if we could get people on a team basis looking with the use of telemedicine, we can actually help people do better. There's no doubt about it. And it won't cost the system so much.
Well, exactly. And it's a cooperative effort that's needed. Like we've said so many times for so many other things, like mm-hmm. whether it be raising awareness and money for cancer research, for homelessness, for relief for people who have been dealing with flooding, even, you know, you think about how communities come together. Perfect example of it here in Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville. And this can happen for Parkinson's.
And it's going to save money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as simple as that. It's a cost effective, but it also works, and we need to do that here.
If someone would like to get a little bit more involved or find out more information about this portion of it before we move to something else here, how would be the best way for them to go about doing that, Pat?
Probably to get in touch with Parkinson Canada and ask for who in the local area that they live in would be interested in that they should be connected with. I'm happy to give out my email, but I don't think that's necessarily the best way. If people want to get information on Parkinson's, they should probably start with Parkinson Canada, because they're the ones that have the broad perspective.
Now, if someone is local, I know that there's a great way that they can help raise funds. And this is an initiative that you have going on that's coming up very soon.
Are you talking about the tulips?
I am indeed.
Yeah, we decided that we would sell. I mean, tulips are the international symbol of Parkinson's. And so the independents have been very gracious and wonderful and supportive in terms of letting us sell some that we actually get from Gemmels. Gemmels has been very supportive. And we usually get through them pretty quickly. We sell them just before April 1st is going to be the time we sell them at the three independents in Carlton, Smiths Falls, and Perth.
Okay.
And people, as long as we have them, people are welcome to buy them. They can also come and make a donation. We now are connected with the Perth Community Fund, Community and District
Foundation.
Foundation, sorry. And because we were given an anonymous donation put towards local initiatives in this area. So we now have an ability to be able to receive donations. So we're looking, we'd love to be able to match the $10,000 donation that we got, but any donation would be much appreciated. So we can actually start looking more at local, how we can help people locally.
You're very wise, too, in using tulips, because here we are the spring. People want to see those flowers.
They do. They
absolutely. Do. They'll see them and say, I want to bring these home.
Yes.
How do I do this? Oh, I'm doing it for a great cause.
That's
so
right.
That's true.
That's right.
So once again, that's going to be
April 1st.
Okay.
April 1st between 10 and 2 at the three independents, Carlton Place, Smiths Falls, and Perth.
Excellent. Now, just before we let you go, we always have you here to talk about the Super Walk, mm-hmm. and not exactly sure what's happening.
Well,
with that
what's
this
happening
year.
Is that Gail Truman and I decided to step back. We think it's a tremendous awareness activity, a tremendous awareness activity. However, the money was not designated necessarily to our area.
Okay.
So we raised a heck of a lot of money. We raised over $300,000 over the 5 years we did it. And we didn't see Now, we don't expect to. They have obviously put in a lot of resources in the area in the sense that we got a wonderful resource called the Every Victory Counts book that has everything that you can possibly want to know about Parkinson's. But they are still trying to find someone who will, and I hope someone will step up to do it because, again, we had five people show up last year, just families, just for information, desperate for information. So you know that there's a need to have that kind
sure.
of thing. So I would encourage people, if they're interested in trying to help make sure that the Super Walk happens again, that they do that. We'll be focusing on trying to thinking about other ways that we can help people locally. And that's why I mentioned the Perth Foundation as a way of being able to do that.
Well, Pat, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I'm so happy you came in today. And I know it won't be our last conversation. And I look forward to the next one.
Thank you so much for having me in, Bob.
You're very welcome. We've been speaking with Pat Evans, who is a local Parkinson's advocate. And yes, if you'd like to learn more, just Google Parkinson's Canada and you can find out how you can help out there. Absolutely. I'm Bob Perreault. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.
In Focus on Lake 88. To hear today's program online or to listen to any of our previous In Focus interviews, visit our website at lanarkleadstoday.ca.
In Focus on Lake 88 was brought to you by Perth Chiropractic in the Perth Family Health Center, 33 Lewis Street in Perth.